need a break? Relax, grab a coffee, and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Here we are, another Wednesday afternoon. It's hump day. By crikey, don't they roll around quickly. Hey, but for you, it's time to take 25. Pour yourself a cuppa, put your feet up and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. And kicking us off today, a great song from Queen.
Make a big noise, playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing.
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street. Gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face. A big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it out.
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes. Gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face. Big disgrace, somebody better put your bag into your place.
It's a great song. We will rock you. And that's just what we all feel like as spring is coming into the air. Talking about spring, it's all that time that we get out and we go for a walk and we just start to enjoy, you know, being outdoors again if we feel that we've been a bit stuffed up, you know, through all of the winter. Are you getting now, Irene, if I remember correctly, you've got a house at the moment, you've got a dog, you're out there walking down the beach.
I am. And talk about rocking me. I mean, this dog is really rocking me. Oh, my God. This has got to be the most intelligent dog on the planet. He is absolutely amazing. You know, the other day, it was such beautiful weather, and I absolutely love spring. It just gives me so much positive energy. It's amazing. You know, you start seeing everything growing, and it's just so beautiful. And it's daylight when you wake up in the morning, you know? I mean, it's awesome. Anyway, I decide I'm going to go to the beach for the day. This dog has totally controlled me for 3-4 weeks. I'm going to the beach. We're going to spend a day at the beach. So I load everything in my van, and I've had this dog in my van before, and he was fine. I put his bed in the back, and I had his little space so he couldn't roll around, and I had his little treats and his water and everything. So, you know, it shouldn't have been any issue. And I was just literally taking the van for a drive because it hadn't been out for a while. So I thought, right, load everything in the van. So I've got all this food and all his bits and pieces and his bed and everything in the van. And then I tried to get him in the van. Wasn't having a bar of it. I looked for this dog all around the place. I eventually found him hiding behind the garage. And I put the lead on him and I pulled him out, and he sort of walked. When you put the lead on, he'll walk out. But he walked out and he walked straight up to the car and he put his paws up on the car door. And he was saying to me, I'll go in the car, but I'm not going in the van.
He must know you're driving in the van, eh? We've all been looking out for you on those roads as we go around New Zealand. So he must have thought, bye, Eck, I'm not getting back in that van with Irene.
Well, I do admit I'm down to an 80-mile-an-hour driver now. I used to be still 110 in the van, but, oh, no, it's far too dangerous. I'm down to an 80-mile-an-hour driver. But, no, can you credit this dog? He was just absolutely – and there was nothing I could do. Just nothing. Every time I tried to pick him up, if I walked towards the van, he kicked and carried on and wiggled and got out of my – yeah, just nothing.
Isn't that interesting?
I know. He's so clever. He really, really is clever. You see, when he's in the car, he's got this sort of hammock thing that he lies in. So he's got this beautiful little hammock thing, and he's rocking backwards and forwards there, and he knows it's not going to be a long trip when it's in the car, but if it's in the van, it's going to be a long trip. Can't be long trips. You're away from food for too long in his mind, you know.
and little does he realise he may get even nicer food out on the long trips and little treats that, yeah. Oh, dear.
He would, but you see, he's a homebody. He doesn't really like going out. He likes to be at home where he's got all the attention 24/7.
Isn't that interesting? So I wonder whether it's kind of just the way that they're being brought up, or whether they're just like some of us humans, that some of us are homebodies and some of us love, you know, getting out and about and exploring, or whether it's such a conditioning that that's what the family has done all this time, so that's what they come to expect. Or is it personality?
I think a little bit of everything. I mean, this dog's definitely got personality plus. He is so snobby, it's unbelievable. Some dogs, he just literally puts his nose in the air and walks past and won't have a bar off. And then other dogs, he'll wag his tail and sniff, and it's always the pedigrees. If it's a mongrel type dog, he will not have a thing to do with it. But if it's a pedigree dog, he's right in there. Now, how does this dog know this? And he's like a lord. He is so funny. He's just incredibly funny.
But for our listeners out there, can we even believe this? This is just almost one of those stories that goes into the unbelievable slot, doesn't it?
Oh, look, my gosh. I haven't even told. This dog has 3 meals a day, right? And dinner time, he has 3 courses. Okay, so 3 meals a day and 3 courses. And so your whole day is planned around his food. Now, this dog, his lunch is supposed to be at 12 o'clock. At 11:30, he starts reminding you that it's nearly his lunchtime.
And he's like worse than a child.
He will not let up on you until he gets his lunch. The same with dinner. His dinner is supposed to be at 4:30. He starts carrying on at you from 4 o'clock onwards. You've got absolutely no peace at all until you feed him at 4:30. So I decided, right, I'm not having this. After about a week of this, it was just driving me nuts. You know, this dog's controlling my life. So I went, right, went for a walk. So I would put the on him and off we'd go, and away we'd go for a walk, and we wouldn't get back till, we were actually getting back at 4:30, because when I put the lead on him to take him out the gate, he was off like a rocket. He was sprinting around the walk so fast that I could hardly keep up with him. I mean, I was puffing by the time I got back. This dog is normally pulling on the lead and trying to scavenge everything along the way, and you're normally walking one pace weight, two pace weight, you know? But because it was right on his feed time, he gallops around the whole walk. He's so smart. So I thought, right, I'm not going to let a dog outsmart me. So I then changed the walk and I took him to a place where we had to walk right along the stop bank And so the walk, even if he galloped, was 30 minutes. So I was getting really, really good training from it, but trying to make him go this extra distance, oh, my God, I actually picked him up and carried him the first time because he put his bum down. He put his bum down and he was not going down that other trail, not at all. But once I forced him to do it from then on, so we gallop around this other, so I have a really good 30-minute workout every night. It's really good.
So how big is this dog?
He's a little dachshund. He's about 2 inches off the ground.
Right.
He's got a very stuck-up pointy nose and a very stuck-up pointy tail, and it was my mission in life to make that tail wag because he never wagged it, but he's starting to wag it now. So it just tells you, it's like spoiled children. You know, they are unhappy creatures. They're not happy. Spoiled dogs aren't happy either. As soon as they are no longer wanting all the time and, you know, got a little bit of discipline in their lives, they're much happier.
There you go. There's the dog whisperer right there. Who needs dog training? Just, you know, get Irene in to do a little bit of discipline around there. But I suppose one thing too, though, how do you deal with those? I presume the dogs will have it. I know my ponies have it. You know those eyes that they give you?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Those eyes that melt your heart. How do you deal with that then? So when you're doing a bit of discipline, you've got to discipline yourself as well, no doubt.
I shut my eyes. He's not allowed in the kitchen, you see, and this is one of the biggest ones, particularly right on meal times when I'm getting his meal ready, because he gets right under my feet and I can't hear him and I'm scared stiff I'm going to hurt him falling over him. So I don't allow him in the kitchen, but he's always been allowed in the kitchen and he barks and carries on, you know. But now he has to stand on the carpet. He's not allowed on the lino. So he just stands at the carpet and he goes to put a foot over and I go, nope. And he's deaf. He's totally deaf and he's blind in one eye, but he immediately pulls his foot back. So you tell me that dog doesn't. He is so clever. And so he stands there and he's looking at me with these big eyes and I go and give him a cuddle and a smooch and a tiny little treat while he's waiting. I mean, you can't help it.
Isn't it funny, eh? Those animals have us twisted right round their little fingers or their little hooves or their little legs, paws, whatever it is, but they've just got those eyes, haven't they? And I don't know whether us humans have even managed to get that, even get close to that. I mean, I know some do, but that, yeah, they've got it down pat.
No, I totally agree with you. You look at Phoenix, it's not just the eyes, it's those beautiful eyelashes around those eyes. I mean, these great big black eyes with these gorgeous eyelashes. I mean, yeah, come on.
But isn't it funny how that, you know, how when you think about a lot of the animals, they have that. They have that over us.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
So somewhere along the line, someone's been smart with their DNA to say, we need those big, soft, gooey eyes to get what we want.
Yeah, well, don't get anybody ideas, for goodness sake. You know, let's just keep the deer's eyes and the deer's beautiful lashes and the way they look at you in deers and not have them being crossbred with something else.
I think it's been in them for years and years and years, those eyes of all those animals. I mean, any animal, when you think about it, is like that. So interesting. You're having to turn away from those gooey eyes to make sure that you don't give in.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, you can't build Rome in a day, and I know darn well that everything that I'm doing now is just going to turn to custard the minute the owner comes back, but it's just trying to have a little bit of quality of time myself, you know, like being able to talk to you is just wonderful that he's actually sitting down there and he's behaving himself at the moment. That could never have happened a week ago.
Oh, that's cool. So, here's hoping after all the time having to discipline yourself as well as him, that you'll be having a break from that soon and tootling off in your van for a wee while and having a little explore around the country.
I've got 7 days, I think it is, to get down to Wellington, where I take on 3 dogs and a couple of cats.
Oh, good. So if you see any mature lady out there kind of being tugged along by all these dogs, you know who it is. they'll be walking her, I would think. But anyway, you'll be walking out amongst the blossoms and the daffodils and the little lambs and everything. So, yeah, every walk now is pretty cool. And talking about the blossoms, I've seen there's a couple of roads, especially in Auckland, I'm sure probably around the country as well, where they've lined the streets with cherry blossom. And they've come out at the moment and are looking amazing. The colours are amazing this year. So, yeah, if you have, we'd love to see some of those photos if any of you out there are living down one of those streets or close to one of those streets where you go through and there's all those blossoms out already.
Well, I saw this wonderful thing on Stuff this morning, and it's the five best places to be in New Zealand in September. And it's quite amazing. There's a place called, let me see if I can find it for you. It's called the Aston Norwood Gardens, which were inspired by a trip to Japan. So somebody has planted all these cherry blossoms in this garden. I assume it's a private garden, over 300 cherry blossom trees.
Wow.
And you can buy a ticket. Oh, no, that's for the Blossom Festival. But can you imagine that? Over 300 cherry, it's got to be stunningly beautiful.
Actually, do you know, saying that, there's a place down the road from us which they have planted a whole lot of trees in one of their paddocks. So it was a paddock with grass and they've planted it out. And I'm quite sure that's with cherry blossoms, but they seem to, they're still a bit young, the trees. So I'm not 100% sure whether they are, but I have a feeling that they are. But gosh, imagine that. Imagine going through that garden with hundreds of trees of cherry blossom. That would be just amazing.
Now, here's a question. Blossoms normally define that, so there's some fruit going to be growing on there. You know, you get a blossom and you know there's going to be an apple or something coming along, or a plum coming along. Cherry blossom trees, do they grow cherries?
No. It's obviously a different, I mean, we call them cherry blossoms, and I'm not quite sure why we call them cherry blossoms, but they're not the same as cherry tree. So yeah, I have no idea why we call them cherry blossom trees. Actually,
do cherry trees actually have blossoms? They've got to. They're like a plum.
They would have to. Yeah, we've got a cherry tree, but it hasn't done anything yet, so I can't tell you whether it blossoms or not. But yeah, no, that's an interesting thought. Why do we call them cherry blossoms when it's, yeah? But no, they don't produce cherries as such.
Going to be interesting because we get so many cherries at Christmas time being grown, so in New Zealand. So yeah.
Must be part of, maybe it's part of the same family, but you would think, you're right, because with blossoms usually comes a fruit. So why do they not fruit? We might have to look this up.
I think we'll have to. Us little brain drains here are supposed to know everything, like you.
I know my nectarine tree is in full blossom. One of my nectarine trees is in absolute full blossom. But this always happens, and I just hope, I've got my fingers crossed, it doesn't happen this year. We usually have everything out in blossom, and then we get a big hailstorm come through, and kaplonk, it's all gone. So fingers crossed this year we don't get that big hailstorm coming through, and so those that fruit can set and we'll actually have some. Then we've got to protect it from the birds, but that's okay. That's a whole nother story. Yeah.
You don't mind feeding them. Yeah. I tell you what I'm seeing down here, which is absolutely amazing, is the mandarin, lemon and grapefruit trees, the citrus. The trees are so laden. They're literally breaking the branches with the weight of the fruit. And people don't seem to eat them down here. They're just going, well, it's really funny because there's a mandarin tree here on this property and I couldn't stand to see them being wasted. So I'm up the ladder and I'm picking boxes and boxes and boxes. And I took 8 boxes down to this coffee shop down the road that she puts them out in front of her shop and just lets people help themselves. And she said they all go. So, you know, you can bring as many down to me as you like because people do take them, they do all go. But I can't understand why. I mean, they're just, the fruit is just falling all over the place on the ground, you know? So why aren't the neighbours giving it to their neighbours sort of thing, or saying, you know, everybody come and pick your own? But yeah, it's just massive. I mean, the grapefruit is amazing. I took one from a neighbour because I can't eat a lot of grapefruit. It seems to react badly with me, but I do love it all soaked in honey and baked in the oven. And, you know, I mean, it's just gorgeous.
I think so, that says it all. I don't think any of us can eat too many grapefruits unless it's soaked in rum and brown sugar or honey or whatever it is. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a way of getting that piss out. I mean, the piss is what's the bitter part in it. So if you can get your grapefruit and peel all that pith off it, which is what I did for all the boats, you know, there's no way you could have one tiny little bit of white on your grapefruit segments on the boats, and they'd all had to be soaked in, well, I don't know where the rum came from, girl, but definitely soaked in really, really good quality honey. And just absolutely beautiful, but so sweet. I can't get over how sweet they all were.
And you're right, Abs, you know, and it does frustrate me when you do see all of these trees. And it's the same with feijoa trees. You know, there's feijoas for miles, you know, when feijoas come out. And yet we're all kind of going, you know, all this food is so expensive and stuff, and yet here it is, we walk past someone's place and it's rotting on the ground. I really don't get that. So it's awesome to hear, you know, that you're picking them and putting them outside the shop and people are actually taking them. But
I think that's the thing. I think it's this whole laziness at the risk of sounding very negative, like all us grannies do to this generation. But because they're already bagged and all they've got to do is pick up this bag and walk and put it in the car, they're taking it. But going to their neighbours next door and picking it off the tree? No, you know. And sort of that's the other thing. Like, this is a tiny little community. I can walk around this whole community within an hour. That's how tiny it is. And the people are friendly. They'll say hello to me as I walk past them in the street. But they won't engage in a conversation. You know, you can never get them to that stage where you can actually start making a friendship, you know, or making something a little bit more than just a polite hello as you walk past. And I was reading a story from an Englishman who emigrated over here with his family 5 years ago. And he was saying there was so much about New Zealand that he absolutely loved, but one of the things that he's missing is the humour. He said, you know, we have this wacky English humour, and he said it's just totally not understood here, and it's taken the wrong way. And he said, I'm just so homesick for having some humour in my life. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, we used to take the mickey all the time. That was our favourite saying was, you know, I'm just taking the mickey. And we used to have this fantastic sense of humour. And I think we need to get that back. I think it's really important to have humour. It's got to. And if people take it the wrong way, then just say, oh, look, I'm really sorry. It really was just a joke, and there was nothing negative about it.
And we probably shouldn't need to be saying that, because you're right, because we've lost that humour. We shouldn't even have to say that, because people should know that it is humour and that there's no pun intended. But that kind of, I suppose, reminds me a little bit of our conversation the other week. You know, we were talking about we're in this woke society where, you know, isn't that interesting? Maybe that has taken away a bit of our humour and the way, you know, we take the mickey out of each other. And that's kind of all part of growing up. And that's interesting, because as I was listening to you, I thought what you were going to say was that was hard to build that friendship, that real close friendship, because I've heard that very much about New Zealanders, that we're very friendly, but to actually build a close relationship is quite difficult to do versus just kind of the friendliness. And yeah, maybe you have to be down in that area for 20 years, Irene, before they'll actually have a conversation with you. But for us, that's all the conversation time we've got. And we'll love to hear your stories, whether it's a dog or cat or animal with gooey eyes, or whether you want to share a bit of humour with us. Jump onto our Facebook page, Two Sugars, and we'll see you guys the same time, same place next week.
You've been listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delacroix Communication, delacroix.co.nz.